It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. New research finds that deaths related to alcohol-related liver disease are on the rise, with deaths from alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver in Wisconsin jumping by 35% through the pandemic. That's from an analysis by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel using data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Nationwide, the rate of people dying of liver disease from alcohol abuse increased nearly 9% from 2018 to 2022. And the rate of younger people, particularly younger women, dying from these liver diseases grew faster than other categories.
So what's driving these disturbing trends and what could reverse them? Dr. Patrick Remington is an emeritus professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, and Maureen Buzalaki is director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the Comprehensive Injury Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Maureen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Dr. Remington, thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
Dr. Remington, let's start with you. We see this national jump in these alcohol-related liver problems, and the Journal Sentinel broke down the numbers. It's happening here in Wisconsin, too. What's going through your mind as you see these numbers? What could be driving this?
Well, these are based on death certificates, and that data is very accurate, especially for younger people. When someone dies, the physician of record then completes the death certificate. It's provided to the county, to the state, and eventually to the CDC. And the researchers in Illinois looked at those records and see disturbing trends. The rates were pretty constant up until about 2010. Then they began increasing slowly, maybe 5% per year, but then really dramatically increased in the last 4 years. As COVID approached, particularly for younger people and for women.
Maureen, you've said elsewhere that the Medical College of Wisconsin's liver transplant team is also seeing younger patients needing liver transplants related to alcohol consumption. So that, on top of these death statistics, what does that make you worry about? What does that make you watch for when it comes to younger people and their alcohol consumption?
Yes, when we've talked to providers, they say that it used to be they would never treat someone for alcohol, hepatitis, or cirrhosis, in their 20s or 30s, and now it's not infrequent. So we look at overall drinking trends and what is happening with the population and, you know, obviously the culture around that and policies. And what we see is young adults drinking less overall. However, we're finding that there's a segment that are drinking much more. And when I talk to providers, they mention that it's really important for people to understand that 2 to 3 drinks a night can put you on the path to destroy your liver.
Maureen, I want to dig into that a little more. I see those big picture statistics all the time that show fewer people in middle school and high school are drinking. Fewer people in college are drinking. Overall binge drinking numbers seem to be trending down. But what is happening with this group that you're pointing out apparently must be out there, people who are defying those trends, I guess, and drinking a lot more?
Yes. So they reclassified folks that are in the category of high intensity drinking. So we do see that segment, but we also see, especially, you know, with COVID, the mental health crisis and lack of, you know, enough providers, everywhere to help deal with those issues. We see that people are self-medicating potentially, and that they're drinking in higher rates than, you know, they're surrounded by people that are drinking more. And so it's the norm, you know, we see across Wisconsin to be drinking, you know, on a regular basis at higher rates than you see in a lot of the rest of the nation.
Dr. Remington, you and I have talked a lot about public health and alcohol over the years. What do you think about when it comes to interventions, to outreach for this group we're talking about, young, high-intensity drinkers who are apparently at a very elevated risk of diseases we used to associate with long-term older drinkers?
Well, it's a great question. These are observational data. So these are data collected routinely. And the analysis is very sound. This is clearly happening. So it's not a question of whether this might be happening. It is absolutely happening. We are seeing more people developing and dying from alcohol-related liver disease, a really serious problem in Wisconsin and in the nation. And as a public health physician, I always think about going upstream, basically thinking, well, those are increasing death rates. Why? Increasing rates of alcohol use, problem alcohol, specifically problem alcohol drinking, as Maureen said. But then the question is, why? We know that COVID and the isolation related to COVID and the stress and strain of unemployment and other things was a cause. And in fact, it's interesting, in the last year, you see a slight decrease in these statistics. We also know that there's a mental health crisis in our nation, and particularly in children and young adults. And alcohol can be used to self-medicate, not appropriately, by the way. It's an attempt to really blunt the pain that comes from depression and or anxiety. And that use of alcohol as to self-medicate for mental health challenges is absolutely more harmful to health. And so I think understanding the cause is really important, but then, you know, not just talking about the problem, really going towards solutions, understanding why some people, why some young adults are problem drinking, and then address that individually. What are their what are the causes for each individual? And that's going to change from person to person. It's the reason you need to be in close touch with a physician or a mental health provider to work on those issues specifically for yourself.
And Maureen, along the same lines, you at the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project, what kind of interventions are you thinking about trying to reach out to this group that seems to be waving a pretty big red flag in these numbers we're talking about?
Right. Well, I think it's important to people to understand that even drinking in what might be considered in Wisconsin a little bit less is maybe not as low as you need to go to really reduce your risk. So that's one piece. And I think what Dr. Remington shared is really critical in that. We focus on working on community changes and changing the alcohol environment. What we see are a number of communities that are doing a lot to reduce underage and excessive alcohol use during festivals. And, you know, when they have temporary picnic licenses and those kinds of things, by putting in safeguards, by reducing the number of alcohol drinks you can buy, by reducing the size of those alcohol drinks. So many communities around our state are taking measures such as those, which are helpful, as well as performing alcohol age compliance checks. So that means that they're working with retailers to make sure they're not selling to people who are underage. And that's important because we know, you know, first of all, when a kid goes in and is able to obtain alcohol, I think that's an important moment to not sell to those kids. And it sends an important message about community norms. But secondly, it also means that that retailer is, you know, not doing anything special. They're just following the law. And it's a really important law to follow in terms of the trends that we see. In Wisconsin, 1 out of 6 children have started drinking alcohol under the age of 13. And that sets you up for, you know, a lot of problems down the line. And so trying to change that culture by making sure that laws are being enforced, that retailers are on board, you know, and that community events are not sort of flaunting, you know, excessive alcohol are all pieces that I think can come together to help change that norm.
We're talking to Maureen Buzalaki with the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project at the Medical College of Wisconsin and Dr. Patrick Remington, Emeritus Professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at alcohol, an increase in young people dying of liver disease associated with alcohol consumption, and what we can do about that. Okay, so far, a lot of this conversation could be anywhere in the country. Let's look at Wisconsin in particular. Dr. Remington, there's a sense, and I think the perception matches reality pretty well, that Wisconsin has a particular culture, a particular issue when it comes to alcohol. What do you see from your public health perspective?
Well, I started working with a survey that's done through the CDC called the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. It started in the early 1980s. And pretty much every year in the last 40 years, Wisconsin has topped the ranking of problem drinking, of binge drinking, rates of heavier drinking, chronic heavier drinking, and in fact, drinking and driving. So this is deeply embedded in the culture of Wisconsin, as Maureen said. And again, it's not so much focusing on the percentage of people who consume alcohol. There are other states that have as many people who drink alcohol as Wisconsin, but it's this problem drinking behavior that we see in the state. And, prevention and public health is really important. But also, as Maureen said, understanding the important effects of the culture and of the environment and of policies. So just one example is the beer tax in Wisconsin is the lowest in the nation by far. That's just a culture of an industry that influences policymakers so that, we don't use that policy lever in this state to fund programs to promote prevention. And it's because of the longstanding relationship between industry and policymakers.
And Maureen, you've both used the word culture here, and I know a lot of your work over the years has been on changing the culture, the attitudes, the acceptance of unhealthy levels of drinking. Can you talk about successes maybe or the obstacles to those successes?
Well, again, I work with communities all over the state, and I do see a lot of progress and change happening. But it's one of those things where one policy, say you've got a really strong festival policy and you're making sure that people are not overserved and there's no youth are allowed into the areas where alcohol is served. It's one piece of a bigger picture.
Maureen, I want to stay with you on the idea of what constitutes a lot of drinking. And I remember years ago after a conversation here on WPR about binge drinking. And a listener comment was something like, well, if you define binge drinking as five or six drinks, well, of course, we're all binge drinking, right? That's Thursday after work. The baseline, the anchor for a lot of people is much higher than is healthy, it seems to me. How do you start to move that needle?
Well, I think there's several approaches folks can take. One is just consciously drinking less, so taking at least one serving off. And working through that. We also think about alcohol-free days. So just like Meatless Mondays, right? We encourage people to not drink every day of the week. And then when you look at the science, we have to say, especially because of the link to cancer, that there's really no safe level. But, we live in a culture where alcohol is a part of everything. And so when we look at the research and the science that's been done, especially recently, we know that it's less than a drink a day for women and a drink a day or less for men. And so, and it's not that you can hold that and just drink all seven mm-hmm. on Friday night, right? It's really about that daily consumption. That's really hard. It's a big, big change. And so that's why we encourage taking steps to reduce it. When I talk to providers, they tell me that, a lot of these young people, they're drinking two, three, maybe more a night, not realizing how much of an issue that is. And I think, there's this perception of someone who has an alcohol use disorder, that they're falling down drunk, that relationships are a problem, jobs are a problem. And that's not necessarily the case, with these folks who are drinking two or three or more every day, and so they don't realize the harm that is happening. So I think it's a combination of, you know, understanding and, you know, thinking about how you approach alcohol use in your community, in your family, and also looking at different policies that can help make a difference.
Dr. Remington, I want to take this into the doctor's office now. What kind of role can care providers, primary care providers in particular, have in helping patients recognize problematic levels of drinking and then reducing it?
You know, the policy environment and the culture are incredibly important, and they're what we call strong determinants of the health of a community, and they influence alcohol consumption patterns tremendously. But the doctor's office is a special place where individual advice can be given to people. The physician can get to know the patient, sort of understand their behaviors, understand the reasons people drink, and then try and move that needle. And one approach is to ask people who are moderate drinkers to cut back. And the strategies that Maureen mentioned have been shown to be effective. This is really called the sort of counseling and with advice. It's like a motivational interview. You ask about alcohol consumption patterns, and then you follow that with advice. So I think just also increasing the awareness of the potential harms. I don't think it was the 1950s and 60s when people began to understand that cigarettes were harmful to health. And it took 40 or more years to implement the policies that were needed, like clean indoor air policies or not allowing smoking in restaurants and bars. I think we're in that sort of transition with alcohol, better understanding the harms. And there's, as Maureen said, no safe level. Clearly, there are low levels, which the harms are minimized and social benefits exist, and people will make that choice to drink some. But doing so in small amounts balances that harm with the benefits that everybody perceives. So I would say have a conversation with your primary care provider. The first issue in any concern is to understand if there is a problem. And I think that's the importance of having that conversation with your physician. And then once you understand that there may be a drinking problem, then set out on specific strategies to address that.
We'll leave it there. Dr. Remington, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Maureen, thanks for being with us.
It was my pleasure.
Maureen Buzalaki is director of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project and the Division of Alcohol Policy Prevention and Research at the Comprehensive Injury Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin. And Dr. Patrick Remington is an emeritus professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. We've been looking at the rise in recent years in alcohol-related liver deaths, especially among young people. And we want to hear your thoughts on the drinking culture here in Wisconsin. Do you think we drink too much? Do you feel pressure to drink more than you would like to? Have you seen some good no-alcohol alternatives when you go out? If you moved here from another state, were you surprised by what you saw in Wisconsin? Email us. The address is wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Again, that's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.